Good morning. It's good to be back here in this wonderful church, and we are just excited. When I was getting in touch with your pastor, and your pastor is dear to our hearts, and of course this church has been the second family that we have, so we are so thankful for this church, and I hope that today will be a blessing to you. First, we would like to sing a song, and whatever you're going through today, remember that we have a Father, we have a God who knows us, who knows what we are going through, and He knows the answers to our problems. Like to show to you our video presentation, and for the past 3 years that we were not here in the States, we were busy in our ministry, and the Lord has blessed the ministry for that past 3 years. The last time I was here, so I hope that this video presentation will be a blessing to you, because everything and every people, every individual that is in that video presentation, you are a very big part of it. The reason why they are serving the Lord, the reason why they are saved, it's because there is one church, there's a church just like you here in Charlestown, a missionary Baptist church that is praying for that ministry. So I hope that this video presentation will be a blessing to you.
Thank you. Philippines is the third most disaster-prone country in the world today. That means we have a high exposure to natural calamities like typhoons and earthquakes. But the most tragic disaster our people are facing is for them to die without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I am Brother Ralph Joash Briones, married to my wife Shaman. In 2012, we started Gospel Light Baptist Church in the city of Baliwag in the province of Bulacan. Baliwag is a very religious city. About 90% of its population is Roman Catholic. In this city is where they hold the longest procession of man-made idols yearly. It has 27 villages with a population of more than 160,000 people. We knew we cannot evangelize the whole city by ourselves, so we started small. Our mission started in a relocation area, a poor village where most children are often on the streets, not sure if they would have another meal. We saw the poverty, and it was the opportunity to share the love of God to them. With the desire of my wife, Shaman, we started the teaching and feeding ministry. Children listened to stories about the love of God and then fed a bowl of soup or porridge afterwards. It may not be that much, but it's enough not to go to sleep that night on an empty stomach. Every year, we would have our vacation Bible school. Hundreds of children look forward to this, for they will not only learn from the Bible and will be fed for the whole week, but they will also receive school supplies that they will use for the upcoming school year. This ministry has been for 7 years now, and these children have grown. And praise God, a lot of them have trusted Jesus Christ as their only Savior. The product of teaching and feeding these children is now being harvested through the lives of these young people. From that poor village where they do not know what tomorrow will be, are now young leaders of the church who have found their hope in Jesus Christ. Just students before, willing to listen and learn, are now people helping to change lives of other children because they personally experience that life-changing moment. Some of our church leaders cannot afford to go to college, and one of our ministries is help them finish their studies. Just like Bea, who was just a student from that relocation area where we started our mission work. We sent and helped her to go to college for 4 years and graduated this year a cum laude, a faithful worker of the Lord who excelled in her studies. She is the one helping my wife to oversee the children feeding ministry, and she is also the church pianist. Gospel Light Baptist Church is located in the northern part of the city. Our vision is to start a church in the east, west, and southern part of Baliwag. This year, Preacher James, who just graduated from the Bible College, and Preacher Renzo are working on starting their own mission works on the east and west side of our city. They say they may not have a car, a house, or money, but they have Christ, and He is more than enough. We also have younger men who are just in their junior and senior high school and are being trained through discipleship classes and ministries involvement. They are helping to share the gospel through campus ministries, sports evangelism, and house-to-house Bible studies. Soon enough, these are going to be the next preachers and pastors of their generation. The ministry is growing. Before, we did not have a permanent place to hold church services. Back then, we were just using our living room as our place of worship, then our garage, and under a tent. And so we prayed for a church property. That prayer was answered in 2017. We were able to purchase a piece of land through the help of churches and families in the United States of America. And with the little money we had, we, by faith, started building a temporary worship place. But our God is generous. In 2018, He He provided so that the church structure be built. It may not be finished yet, still an active construction zone, very dusty, no air conditioning, but we thank God for this spacious place where we meet to study the Bible and worship the Lord. It is just halfway done, but our hearts are full of joy and looking forward to God's provision for this building to be beautifully done. Pray with us, help us, and together we can reach this goal for this place to be a landmark of the greatness of God in the city of Baliwag and to be a lighthouse of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, I am Brother Ralph Joash Briones, a second-generation missionary, investing in the lives of the next generation whom God will use in starting churches to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, and God bless you.
One of the reasons why we are here is about the church building. And there's a video clip, just a few seconds. We're just going to show you in just a little bit. The situation that we are in our church building. As I have said in the video presentation, it is halfway done. And I have a video clip that would like to show you. When it's during the summertime, it's okay. We don't have windows. We don't have doors. It's an open building. But this time we would like to add windows and doors because it's typhoon season in the Philippines, and one of the things that we are struggling with in our church building right now is we get wet when we go to church. So if you go to church during Sunday, it will be very, very difficult when it's raining very hard. But what I am encouraged about is our people are still going to church. So they just bring their umbrella so that they don't get wet. So that's the situation when it's raining. The water goes in the church. So you have to bring your umbrella when it's time to go to church. So that's just the situation that I would like to show you. Please continue to pray for us. And this is the situation we are in our church building. First of all, I would like to say thank you for supporting our ministry for several years now. One of the churches that are faithfully supporting us is this church. A lot of the churches here in the United States have already dropped us in supporting us on a monthly basis. But this church has been faithful for that several years. And we would like to say thank you. Those people that got saved, those people that surrendered their lives to the Lord, are simply just because of your prayers and your faithful support in our ministry. So in behalf of them, from the bottom of our hearts, we'd like to say thank you. Pastor, thank you for allowing us to come back. I know sometimes you get tired of our face, but we thank the Lord for Pastor Dennis for allowing us to go back and report and share to us the burden why we are here. Maybe you're asking here today, what can I do to help Gospelite Baptist Church halfway around the world? First of all, prayers. If you would grab a prayer card, grab 10 if you need to. We have so many prayer cards. And please grab one, put it in your fridge, put it in your Bible, and remember us in your prayer. Because that's the most special and the most important thing that we need in the ministry is your prayers. Number two is your presence. If you would like to have a mission trip to the Philippines, just like some folks from North Carolina did last May, they hold our Vacation Bible School. And if you are able, please visit us. And I know it will be a life-changing experience for you because we've got a ministry that you can be a big help and you can do that personally there in the Philippines. But lastly is for providing. We are praying As you have seen in our video presentation, we are trying to send out and start two mission works with the two young preachers that I trained personally. And the reason why I'm here is not for me to be able to raise my own support, but to raise support for those young preachers. They are not able, they came from the poor family. And I'm here to knock on your doors to please continue to pray for them. They're going to start, they don't have anything, but they are, by faith, they are stepping forward to start two mission works in that city, the east and the west side of the city of Baliwag. We are praying. As we stay here, we are going to be here for 3 months only. We're going home October 2nd, and we are praying for 100 churches and 100 churches or families that will be able to support those two preachers for just $25 a month. It's just a little thing, but to them, it's going to be a big help. But also for the church building, we are trying to put windows and doors, and our prayer is for the 3 months that we are here, that there will be people that will help us to raise $25,000 to put windows and doors so the people don't get wet during the rainy season. And we appreciate everything that you have done for us already. You already made big sacrifices. But right now, I'm knocking again on your hearts, on the doors of those families and churches that who are willing to sacrifice even more to help the gospel to be further brought to the people in the city of Baliwag, the people that haven't heard the gospel because of 90% Roman Catholicism in our city. It is the only city in the whole Philippines that have, they parade all the idols, the statues, man-made idols that they worship in the Roman Catholic Church. More than 300 statues. And they close the whole city during the Holy Week. They call it in the Philippines Holy Week for the Roman Catholic people. And they parade that and they close all the streets. You cannot go into the city. So they parade that. They start 4 o'clock in the afternoon and finish 2 or 3 in the morning. That's how many people and how many statues they parade for that city. So we ask for your prayers and your continued support for this ministry. For just a few minutes, I would like to share something from my heart today. And if you have your Bible, maybe some of us are rushing now to go to our lunch. You look at me, maybe I look like a KFC or a McDonald's or Wendy's or something like that. But just hold on your fourth. And we will be out here in just a few minutes. If you have your Bible, turn with me in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And if you are able, please stand together with me to give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 1 up to verse number 8. And the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of the tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning that you have allowed us to be able to come to church and worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh Lord, we know that this is not an accident, that this is all because of your plan and of your grace. So Lord, I pray that you will guide us and direct us in your plan. And Lord, I pray that this message will be a blessing to each and every one of us. And we'll give you all the praises, honor, and glory, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My message this morning is simply entitled, A Godly Heritage for the Next Generation. We were talking about a life being short. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor that easily vanisheth away. If you go to a funeral place, you'll see different sizes of coffins and different places that they get buried in cemeteries, because we don't know what life can bring to us. We don't know how long we're going to live in this world. I remember my dear sister who's gone to be with the Lord at the age of 25 years old. Few years ago, when I came back to continue the work in the ministry there, after coming here, and our hearts were so saddened by the saddened death of my sister. But we are here this morning because we are looking forward for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that someday we're going to see them in heaven and we're going to have that great reunion. But when we're talking about our life here in this world, what are we going to leave for the next generation? We are here this morning. We're not going to be here forever. We have to leave a legacy. We have to leave something for our kids. We have to leave something for our grandchildren. And we ought to leave a godly heritage for the next generation. Who will be the next preachers? Who will be the next pastors? Who will be the next missionaries? Who will be the next Sunday school teachers for those kids? We need to leave them a godly heritage. But how can we do it? Nowadays, it's very hard. But the Bible tells us, and Paul specifically tells us and shows us how to leave a godly heritage for the next generation. I'll be quick. First of all, number one, verse number one, chapter one, verse one, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Number one, for us to be able to live a godly heritage for our children, for the next generations to come, is to be able to recognize, number one, the promise of life in Christ. The promise of life in Christ. Those kids, they may be genius, they may be smart, and go to different colleges, but they cannot have a true and promised life except Jesus Christ offers them that life. They may have all the things in this world, but if they don't have Christ, they don't have anything. The Bible says Paul was talking to Timothy. It says, Timothy, the reason why you are here today is because Christ has given you life. Amen. The Bible says the promise of life, not in the world, but in Christ Jesus. Amen. We ought to be reminded that we have been given the gospel. We have been given the promise of life in Christ Jesus, the simplest plan of salvation in the world. The Roman Catholic people, they have to do this, do that. A lot of tradition, a lot of commandments to do. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the simplest plan of salvation they could ever think of. And when they share to them the gospel, they'll be surprised. Oh, pastor, is that how easy it is to get saved? Because they've been told different kind of things. They have to do this, they have to be baptized when they were a baby to be able to go to heaven. But you know what? We have to share to the next generation the promise of life that can be found only in Christ. He says in John chapter number 4, in verse number 13, remember the Samaritan woman in the well? Jesus met the Samaritan woman. He was thirsty. He was asking for water. And it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But he said in verse 14, woman, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. that this water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, thank God that our salvation doesn't expire. Thank God that our salvation, the life, the gift that was given to us is an everlasting life. It will not end. It will doesn't have a due time because we're going to live forever with Jesus. Salvation that we have in Christ. That's why he was able to say in two chapters after that, John chapter 6 verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Promise of life. We ought to share that to our kids today. Number two, pure conscience. Look at verse number 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Oh, we are living in a very difficult, wicked world. And look at the news today. Oh, we all argue about the homosexuality. We all argue, they talk about the same-sex marriage, abortion. We are living in a terrible, wicked world. And we ought to keep ourselves of a pure conscience. We watch TV and we watch bad things nowadays. That's why I don't have we do have a television in the house, but it hasn't been turned on for quite a while. I don't like what I'm watching television. Teenagers, they go to their cell phones and they scroll and scroll the whole day. They see bad things, they read bad things, they watch bad things, they hear bad things. And we ought to keep ourselves with a pure conscience. That's why it is important to go to church to hear the word of God being preached. Sometimes we don't like it. Oh, Pastor Dennis was telling us about when when the churches nowadays would like to water down the preaching. They want the feel-good gospel. But we ought to have a pure conscience because we have a pure Bible. We have a pure manual in our hands today that we ought to share to the next generation that their cell phones can be gone and they can still live. But without the Word of God, they cannot live. The Bible says that we cannot live by the bread that we eat every day, the food that we eat every day, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We need to have a pure conscience. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to stand up for our faith. Even though there are people, I told our young preachers, I said, right is right, even though no one's doing it. Wrong is still wrong, even everyone is doing it. We ought to stand for the right. We ought to stand for the truth. We ought to stand for what the Bible preaches and tells us what to do. Pure conscience. If they cannot see that in us, then those kids will have a misdirection for their next generation. We ought to have a pure conscience. Number three, praying consistently. Verse number 3 on the last part, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Oh, how we have seen so many miraculous things happen because of our prayers. Oh, in the Bible times we have seen the jail, the door of the jail got open wide because of prayers and singing. And we still believe that the same God that they were serving that day is the same God we're calling on our prayers. And He can still do miracles today. He is still in the saving business as long as we kneel on our knees praying and begging God to save our kids, to save those little ones, to save our teenagers so that they'll prepare for the next generation. Oh, I remember my mom and my dad. I don't like to be a preacher. I don't want to be related in a Christian family, but I was born in a Christian family. But you know what? I feel every day that my mom is on her knees praying. And one day, thank God, that God made me realize that I am a sinner. And when I was 10 years old, I surrendered my life and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because there is someone praying for me. Prayer is very important. praying consistently, not just praying, but praying consistently. Paul says that without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers night and day. Timothy, the reason you're going to move forward into this ministry, Paul says, because I am praying for you. Oh, it's a big thing. It's an important thing for you to be able to pray for us. Oh, even though you're miles away, you can't be there all the time, but your prayers can be there all the time. Praying consistently. Number four. Here we go in verse number four. It's verse number four. It says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of the tears that I may be filled with joy. Number four is persuasive Christian life. If our kids going to look at our lives, are they going to see Jesus? Are we persuasive enough as a Christian? They say, the Bible says we are epistles. We're like epistles written in the hearts of men. We may not be able to share to them directly the gospel, but if they look at our personal lives, those people can get curious and say, how in the world that person can live a life right after God? They're going to say, let me go to that same church. They go to that same church and they hear the pastor preach the gospel to them and they get saved. Because of a persuasive Christian life. Oh, I was telling you a while ago, we need to stand up for Christ today. Yeah. A lot of churches are getting closed. There are more restaurants being opened here and there and the doors of the churches are closing. We are living in that kind of world today. And Christians ought to have a persuasive Christian life. Or remember in the story, Timothy is not blessed to have a Christian dad. By the way, if you're a Christian dad or a Christian mom or a Christian grandma or a Christian, you're in church today, maybe it's a basic thing, but it is something. It's maybe a little thing, but those little things add up, it becomes a big thing. Persuasive Christian life. Paul says, the unfeigned faith, the dedication, the desire to serve the Lord. I see that first in your grandma, Grandma Lois, and his mother Eunice. Thank God for Christian parents who will stand up for Christ and share to their kids the gospel of salvation, the gospel in Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to share that today and be a lighthouse in this very dark world. Who will bring the godly heritage to them? The church will. Oh, I remember when we were having that Sunday school a while ago, the book of Revelation. Before I left, I preached 7 messages on those churches. And I made a series entitled, We Are the Church. It's not the building. We are the church. We ought to make a difference in our community. We have cars, we have houses, we have money. But are we living a persuasive Christian life? Are they going to see Jesus? Are we reflecting the glory of Christ in them? Paul says, I am persuaded in verse 5 that in thee also. Paul saw that same dedication that he saw in Timothy's grandmother and mother. He saw that and he was persuaded. He believed that Timothy will be used by God because he saw that same faith. He saw that same desire. And where are the Christians nowadays? We ought to live a persuasive Christian life. And lastly, I'm done. Verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of the God. Lastly, the power of the cross. Oh, I am not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed to say a prayer when I'm in the restaurant and I'm about to eat. I'm not ashamed to pray. In our city, we hold campus ministry and we go to these fast food restaurants like McDonald's. You know, Filipinos love McDonald's. We can't afford it, But that's the reason why they go to our campus ministry. I feed them preacher in McDonald's. And they are not ashamed to bring their Bible and put it on the table, and people are looking around them and say, what are they doing? Because they are not ashamed of the power of the cross. When people look at us, are they going to say, is that a Christian person? Are they going to see Jesus? Are we going to be proud to say, I'm a Christian? Today, some people say that Christians are now the minority. But you know what? We have Jesus that makes us a majority. May people may say, Christians are getting lesser and lesser and lesser. But with Jesus, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? As long as we stand up for the truth and we still unite as a church, we still support missionary. I support missionary. The reason I ask you to support missionary, because I do so believe in that mission, being having a mission-minded life. I support 8 pastors. When you support me, you're still supporting 8 pastors that I'm supporting. And we continue the cycle so that we can further the gospel to different parts of the world. The power, because of what? We believe in the power of God. He is still in the saving business, and He can still change lives today. Remember Preacher Renzo in that video presentation? Alcoholic, smokes a lot. A couple of years ago. But now, a preacher of the Word of God. Why? Because of the power of God. He can change lives. All our people in the United States, whether you're white, you're black, you're red, you're brown, you're skinny, or you're not so skinny, if you're black hair or blonde, it doesn't matter. God can still change lives today. We ought to believe, we need to believe in the power of the cross, in the power of His resurrection. We need to be partakers of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes it's not easy. Yes, we may be rich, but maybe we may not be rich, but we can be blessed. We may not have a lot, but we have everything in Jesus Christ. Let us live. Help me leave a godly heritage for the Filipinos. I cannot do it. I'm just an old, a young, skinny Filipino person. I cannot do it by myself. I need your prayers. I need your support. Help us to make this thing possible. We can do it together for the glory of God. And when you get to heaven, someone you haven't met before, a skinny Filipino, will just shake your hand in heaven. You don't know him. I have never met you before, but he'll say, thank you for praying for that missionary. And with that missionary, I got saved and I surrendered my life to the Lord. Living a godly heritage for the next generation. Shall we all stand? Shall we all pray?